Introducing two new Subway melts. Try the new chicken cordon bleu melt stacked with juicy chicken, black forest ham, and melted cheese. Or the new $5 footlong chicken marinara melt. Tender chicken covered in marinara sauce and melted cheese. Melted goodness made irresistible. Subway melts. Subway. Eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. All right, it's the holiday season. Can you feel it? The holidays and stuff, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's. And our old friend Kevin Wilds is on the Subway Fresh Tech Hotline in studio.
Yes.
He has holiday half-baked ideas. It's been a while. I actually had the half-baked idea to have a half-baked idea podcast, so I'd like to count myself.
You had a half-baked idea to have a half-baked idea podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's terrible. I don't keep track, and, you know, Joe Mead is in a coma half the time, so it's not like he would ever say, hey, we haven't had Kevin Wilds on lately. We should have him on.
Well, people start yelling at me on Twitter. So you don't have any more ideas for Bill? I said, oh, relax, buddy. I'm there when Bill needs me. I'm the sixth man on the bench just waiting for you to, if you ever have a dull moment talking about the Jersey Shore, I'm ready to come in. Like, Jacoby needs a breather. Get Wilds in there.
Does it bother you that Jacoby has seized the reality territory in this podcast?
No.
Like, it's like you're like the Pippin to his Jordan with reality, and you've been phased out.
I wasn't ever really a reality star, though. I didn't watch Survivor. I watched a little bit of MTV, but it was really I knew that I was playing with greatness.
Yeah, Jacoby's a whole other level. I mean, when you're watching like all the Real Housewives of Atlanta and all those types of shows, you've gone to another level.
You can just keep pushing him and just start naming the most random reality shows. Like, well, let me give you a breakdown on season 3. What Christina was up to.
This might be the best reality year in a long time, though, because I can't remember another reality show going over like Jersey Shore has.
Yeah.
I mean, it's become a cultural. I mean, now I think it's become one of the cultural either high or low points, wherever you want to go, of 2009. When they do the 2009 year in reviews, a picture of the Jersey Shore cast will be in that montage.
It's so short, though. Like, the people are cutting their 2009 year in reviews right now. So you got to get the snooki punch in immediately.
That's almost on a deadline, yeah. My friend Lewis, who did the PR for my book,
mm-hmm.
he did the VGAs. I don't even know what that stands for.
The Video
Saturday.
Game Awards?
Maybe, yeah. And he said the Jersey Shore cast members were regarded as his big celebrities as anybody there. Like, people were more excited about them than anybody else at this event.
Was Angelina there?
Angelina... Oh, the one who got kicked out?
She just got booted.
I don't know if she was invited for that.
I know Snooki's a big star. If I saw Snooki, I'd lose my mind.
Well, apparently she's tiny.
She's like 3'2".
Hey, apparently everybody on the show is tiny. No big surprise, because that's always how it goes. But I'm getting emails.
No, how big is Ronnie?
I think Ronnie's like 5'6".
Really?
Yeah. For some reason, they like short on reality.
I think it works better for the camera. That's why just all actors are small.
Or maybe all cameramen are small and they have to adjust. I don't know how that goes. Hey, before we get into that baked ideas, tell us how Sports Nation is going. You guys did not get canceled.
did not get canceled. We just did our 100th episode today.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a title? Are you like creative director?
No. Although I do like to consider myself the John Hamm of the crew, the Don Draper of the crew, the creative director.
Maybe the Draper.
Yeah, it actually is. I drink during work, so that's mostly. It's not necessarily the creative vision. It's more of the drinking.
You get dressed up.
Yeah, and I wear skinny ties, handkerchiefs. I yell at my secretary. I womanize.
You give your assistant a lot of close the door.
Yeah, I don't have an office, which
well, if you did,
really weird.
Close the cubicle.
Yeah, like we're not even in an office. But yeah. No,
I wanted to come back. I want to co-host. We couldn't work out the days.
Why? Because you were on your book tour, but now you're doing nothing.
Well, I mean,
not nothing, but you know, doing a podcast and
doing occasional podcast,
writing a column. But the book tour was like you were running around like a rock star.
You know what I tell people now, and they're like, "What do you do all day now that the book's done?" I'm like, "I'm coaching my kids." They don't challenge that. They don't realize that my kids are 4.5 and 2, and that neither of them are in organized sports yet. But you throw the coaching of kids out, it's like, oh, that's great.
They don't tell you what sport?
No, I just say, oh, you know all of them. You can, like, totally get out of that. I'm all about lying. I think 2010 is going to be the year of lying for me.
Well, mark that. I don't know if that's a truth or a lie, but we'll go with it.
All right, half-baked idea number one. Oh, in case you haven't heard this before, Wilds likes to he's a man of grand vision. He has a lot of big ideas. Not ideas maybe that are up there with coming up with electricity, things like that. That's why we call them half-baked ideas.
Close. Some of them are close. Oh, remember my old half-baked idea to have a boring person hang out with a famous person and you're like, oh, that's a cute idea. And then this whole Tiger Woods scandal happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Could have saved a lot of lives. And I renamed it. The slogan is, keep your life on track. And we partner with TomTom, and it's called TomTom Hagen.
I like it.
He does all your dirty work, too.
Yeah. You know, you made me think of something. Maybe this is a half-baked idea. I had this thought when I was half asleep the other night. BlackBerry should have a special cheating BlackBerry for cheaters.
Okay, can continue. Love it already.
Where it could something about it be password protected, but it wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't have your password on it where your wife would say, why is your password on the BlackBerry? You'd say, oh, no, this is the special BlackBerry Patron. This is it's security encrypted.
It's named everyone's
has a password.
Why? Because you get grilled. It's hard not to personalize this. You get the sports gal grills you about locking.
Oh, no. I'm saying if I had my BlackBerry on the kitchen counter every night and it was password protected locked.
Yes.
I think she would think that was fishy, and rightfully so. What am I hiding? What emails am I hiding from her?
Which is now, tiger theory.
Well, if I'm on my book tour or something, I'm going to password lock my BlackBerry because if I lose it, I don't want anybody to get it, and they're going through pictures of my kids or whatever the hell somebody does when they find a BlackBerry.
Gotcha.
But on my kitchen counter, really doesn't need to be password locked. If you're password locking it, something's up. So now you have the BlackBerry Patron. Do you like that name, or should I
guess it's the name.
Else?
I think it's trademarked for one.
Yeah, crap. The BlackBerry Bull.
BlackBerry like Bull, B-U-L-L?
That's too close to bold.
Yeah. Do you want it to have cheating in the title? Because that seems to sort of ruin the...
How about the BlackBerry Infidel? So, I get the Infidel.
Okay.
And my wife's like, why are you password protecting your BlackBerry? Mm-hmm. It came like that. It's encrypted. ESPN wanted me to get it because... You know, people are now cracking emails over cell phones and BlackBerries, and they just want to make sure that nothing did. And you could sell that.
Yeah, or if it's basically all retina identification and fingerprinting.
Oh yeah,
Thumb hits it, it knows it's you. It unlocks. But really, to all the cheaters out there, and I'm not a cheater, but to all the cheaters out there, just learn something from the Mafia and episodes of The Wire. No texts. No phones. Face-to-face, the end.
Yep. Well, this is the other component of the infidel. The emails and texts that it sends out, there's coding in the text. They disappear in 24 hours. It's gone.
Ooh.
History. There's no trace of it. Even if you're saving it, it's just gone. It disappears. It vanishes in the thin air.
Well, they do that with Netflix. Don't they have something where you can download Netflix and then it's gone? You can watch it in 24 hours or it's gone?
Oh, yeah. Or I guess you could even say, like, with a pay-per-view. There's some signal that it would send out that would just basically evaporate all the emails. The BlackBerry Infidel coming to you in 2010. All right, half-baked idea number one.
All right, half-baked idea number one. So the Nets are considering moving to Brooklyn. And I started thinking about renaming team names. I think we were talking about renaming the Clippers. So then I did some research, and two things happen when NBA teams move. They either keep their name, like the Lakers kept the Minneapolis Lakers, the Jazz stayed the Jazz, the Hornets stayed the Hornets, the Grizzlies stayed the Grizzlies, even though there's no, what are they, Grizzly Bears in Memphis? What are the Grizzlies even named after?
Well, they were started in Vancouver.
So what, there's Grizzly what, people there?
I don't even think it went that far. I think they just liked the name.
Grizzly Mountains?
Maybe. What does Joe Mead think?
Joe Mead, yeah.
Isn't it the Grizzly Bears?
But does Vancouver have more Grizzly Bears than other parts of the country?
Yeah, it has more Grizzly Bears than people.
Is that true?
There you go. Joe Mead.
Fact.
That's not a fact. Just because Joe Mead comes in and says fact at the end of something doesn't make it a fact.
Joe Mead, can you Google that while we're talking?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. So then you have teams that change their names, like the Supersonics became the even though you don't refer to them as that. I didn't realize the Syracuse Nationals.
By the way, don't think that's not getting bleeped by Joe Mead.
The Syracuse Nationals became the 76ers. So first thing we need to do is establish that the Nets are a horrible name. It needs to be changed. It's the only, I believe, the only professional sports team name that is named after just a part of the court. We're just called the Nets. We rhyme with the Jets and the Mets. We're just go with the Nets. It's the worst name of all time. So, the name for...
Wait, hold on. I have something to add here. Go. And I'm Googling as you're talking.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason that the Nets were such a bad name... Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at their franchise index. So they were created in first ABA season.
Yeah, they were 1967?
1967-68. Initially, they were the Americans. And they were in New Jersey. And then they moved to New York, and they became the New York Nets. But the thing to remember, for some reason, when they were coming up with the names in the ABA in the late 70s, they were bad names. Like the Minnesota was, or Pittsburgh, it was the Pittsburgh Pipers, the Oakland Oaks,
not good.
The New Orleans Buccaneers, the Denver Rockets, the Los Angeles Stars. Like these were like lame names. So you're right. It's time for a new Nets name.
It's time for there's a lot of, we can take a sidebar and talk about the Raptors name. Once I started to do some research on names, the Raptors have the worst name. And once I'm done changing the Nets, we can change the Raptors. Raptors are named after Jurassic Park because it was popular.
At the time? Yeah, you're right. I think that is correct.
This is from the real... Hold on, I printed it out. Stand by. This is from the actual NBA history section on the Raptors. This is a quote. No doubt fueled by the enormous success of the movie Jurassic Park and the popularity of dinosaurs with youngsters who would grow up to be fans in the target market, the team's new moniker, the Toronto Raptors, was unveiled on Canadian national television. Please stop.
That's awful. That was a whole stretch, though, where people were coming up with names for sports teams just because they sounded cool and not because they had an affiliation with the city.
The
Timberwolves accepted.
There's Wolves, aren't there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The Timberwolves actually had something with Minnesota, and now we've learned that the Grizzlies do. But in that era, though, there were just teams that were like, hey, that sounds like a cool name.
Basically, if you started a team now, you would name it the Vampires off of Twilight.
Yes.
I get it. Raptors were a popular name in 1993. Don't name your team after them. They're going to be around forever until David.
You know what killed that? Is that they didn't realize that the special effects in that movie were going to be totally irrelevant and the movie was going to be unwatchable in 10 years. They thought Jurassic Park was going to be like that generation Star Wars, where 30 years later, people would still be
talking about people dressed up as Jurassic. People dressed up as the guy.
Nope.
Oh, I'm a Jurassic-y.
Nope.
All right, so the Nets are horrible, so the Nets need a new name. I have come up with. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Brooklyn Dodgers.
Wow. I didn't think he'd go there. I had it in the back of my head, but I was like, is he going to go there?
It's the big name. It's the big name that's sitting out there that once you say it, people immediately get pumped. Like, oh, Brooklyn Dodgers.
So you're saying that they go the whole nine yards and actually like have uniforms that look like the old Brooklyn Dodgers uniforms? Could they do that?
Yes. Take it to court. It's Brooklyn. I think if you take this to court and you have to be judged by a jury of your peers, people would say, "Oh yeah, definitely Brooklyn Dodgers. Of course that should work."
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Brooklyn Dodgers is the big winner. The only other name that I liked as much as the Brooklyn Dodgers would be Brooklyn's Finest, which would be a combination of a rap song from Reasonable Doubt featuring Biggie and Jay-Z, two Brooklyn aficionados, and a sort of an NYPD play, New York's Finest. So you get NYPD becoming Finest fans. You get the hip-hop community becoming Finest fans, and that spreads all around the world. Brooklyn, 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 Dodgers, Dodgers, or Brooklyn's Finest.
Would the lettering of the Dodgers, would that kind of cross, would that violate the L.A. Dodgers in some way?
But aren't the L.A. Dodgers the Brooklyn Dodgers? I don't know how it works. Again, Bill, let me remind you, these are half-baked ideas. I don't really like to be pressed for details, the legal ramifications of changing it. I'm just throwing it out here. This is what should happen. Get a lawyer involved and sell some merchandise.
Well, can I have a backup plan in case the Dodgers lawyers stop this somehow? Although they're probably busy dealing with the McCourt divorce and wouldn't have time to fight this.
Don, good thinking.
Is there one backup?
From my ideas?
No, for the Brooklyn Dodgers. If that doesn't work, do you have a Brooklyn blank that works?
I had Brooklyn's finest, the Brooklyn... No. Everything else...
Because I have one more.
You do?
I do.
I have the Brooklyn LeBrons. I don't know if that really...
I mean, that would be a strong statement if they named the team after him without him committing yet. But we named the team after you!
The Brooklyn LeBron, the Brooklyn Biggies, Brooklyn Zoo. A lot of hip-hop references.
I have a better one.
Okay, here we go. Buckle up, everybody.
Well, actually, they can't do the one I was thinking of, but it's got... Not a better one. I think Dodger's the best one, but... the Brooklyn Warriors.
Oh, now we are playing with fire, Joe Meade.
Can't do
Simmons
it because Golden State has the Warriors, but that team is so depressed, maybe they're willing to sell the name for like $10 million.
Great idea. Like when you get traded to a team, say, hey, I really need that number 34. It's been my number for a long time.
We'll give you get a fresh start with a new name. Then they could be like the Golden State Bridge, something like that.
Well, where did... I'm on a name page on Mental Floss, which is a great place to get smarter. Stand by.
Well, the Brooklyn Warriors I like because of the movie.
Yes. So, will...
Yeah, they're fighting to get back to Coney.
Will Golden State Warriors give it up? Where? How do they get named?
I don't know. Owner is so bad.
Oh, they used to be the Philadelphia Warriors.
Yeah, and then they moved
up. San Fran retained their nickname.
I mean, it's not like they have a lot of history with the name.
No,
they won one title, and they've had 35 years of suckiness.
Out of here. See you later, Golden State Warriors.
Well, here's my other option, though. What were the other Brooklyn gangs in the Warriors? Because I remember, like, the Furies. Was there a Brooklyn Furies?
Hold on.
I want to say there was.
A lot of
Brooklyn Furies would be good.
What were the guys with the bats?
Oh, those guys?
Yeah.
Well, they were Yankees, basically. Warriors gangs.
List of gangs.
You know, nothing makes for a better podcast than frantic Googling.
Jerks looking up.
I have an update on Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah. Do that while we're looking up gangs.
So, Grizzlies was not the first choice for the team name.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go with Mounties.
Oh, that would have been nice.
But
I like that.
Objections by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They didn't like it.
Oh, come on.
Huh.
All right, so Grizzlies in British Columbia. British Columbia is the province where Vancouver is located. Half of Canada's grizzly population, about 13,000 bears, are in that province.
All right, I have a list of the...
Very interesting.
Well, it's about as unexciting of a conclusion to why that name became the name as why they left Vancouver. Like, it's like from the beginning to the end, that was one of the worst...
It's a snooze fest.
Hey, Stern said it's his biggest regret as NBA commissioner. And I think it started when they picked a lousy name for a dumb reason. I found all the gangs in the Warriors.
Yes.
The Destroyers, the Jones Street Boys, the Saracens, Satan's Mothers.
Hello. Winner.
And the Warriors. Satan's Mothers.
I've got a bell here. I'm using it like we're a morning radio show. Satan's Mothers. Do you think that's a little bit too much or no?
Well, it's shortened to the Mothers. But
Brooklyn Mothers.
You know, you couldn't go wrong with the Brooklyn Conies either. They're too much of a stretch.
Too small. Because people in Bed-Stuy don't really consider themselves
Goalies. They don't want to cause problems. It should be the Warriors. They should buy the name. I'll give you the worst idea for the Brooklyn name. Did you come up with that angle? No.
Oh.
The Brooklyn Spikes. And then they announced that the reason they did this was because of Spike Lee's contribution to Brooklyn and to life in general. And then he showed up for the press conference wearing a Brooklyn Dodgers jersey and was very unironic about the whole thing and really thought that this deserved to happen.
It would be a big move taking him away from the Knicks, though.
Well, that's going to be a power play. We're naming this team after you, the Brooklyn Spikes.
Come sit here.
Yeah. All right. I like that idea. And you know what? You're right. And we should also, a whole podcast could be us going through the four leagues and just picking 20 teams that need to be renamed.
Maybe
the Florida Panthers have always bothered me.
I like the Florida Panthers.
But why are they the Panthers? There's no Panthers in Florida.
Yeah,
nobody's in Florida going, oh my God, look out, there's a Panther.
There's Panthers, isn't there?
In Florida?
I thought there was. Florida has a lot more wildlife than you think.
Joe Meter, are there Panthers in Florida?
I don't know about that.
I'm almost positive.
Seems like a stretch. Well, you know, the three-way trade, the Hornets-Jazz-Lakers three-way trade. Was that what it was? No. It was Utah should get the Jazz back.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans should get the Jazz back. Utah gets something else.
And Timberwolves get the Lakers?
There's a third team that needs to be readjusted. I can't remember. Anyway. All right, this Brooklyn Dodgers thing, I feel like there's only one guy who could settle it. My friend Hershey, who helped me out with my book, diehard Dodgers fan. He's on the phone right now. I have Kevin Wilds on my podcast, and he came up with the idea that Brooklyn, if the Nets go there, they should change their name to the Brooklyn Dodgers. How would you feel about this?
It has come up, right? This is not a new idea, right?
I had never heard it before. Is this something that has been discussed?
I've read it in the past when it first talked about Brooklyn. Being a true Brooklyn Dodger fan, I'm not really for it.
Yeah.
Not for it because the uniform would make you uncomfortable, or you feel like it's peeing on Jackie Robinson, or what's the reason?
Thinking about it. I just, I'm not a true Brooklynite, you know, and I think that decision belongs to those people who had the Dodgers, you know. My dad being one of them, not really a decision for me to make.
So you're saying for that generation to rename an NBA team the Brooklyn Dodgers, that whole generation might be insulted by that because in their mind there's only one true Brooklyn Dodgers.
Could you see that?
Yeah, I could see that. I think that's a fair point. All right, we'll let you go. I'm glad. Thank you for settling that.
Thanks.
All right, bye. What do you think of that?
Eh. Was that a problem with the New York Giants? Right, I don't know the timetable of the Giants, but when the New York baseball Giants moved, did that predate the New York football Giants?
Here's the thing. I don't personally have a problem with it, and if they got upset, I don't know if that's a bad thing, but do you want to come out of the gate angering like the old diehard Brooklyn Dodgers fans who are all like either on their deathbed or in their 80s or whatever? Do you want to antagonize these people?
No, of course. No one wants to antagonize anyone.
I really want to sort this out because I think it's a good idea, and I really want to decide whether I want to push for this or not.
Yes, it should be pushed for. There is a small groundswell of Brooklyn Dodgers. Like my buddy he's got like a t-shirt company, and he's got Brooklyn Dodgers with sort of a basketball motif. There is a little bit of a push. No one wants to anger 80-year-old men on their deathbed. You put me in a tough corner there, Bill.
Well, that's a demo that you need.
Well, I guess. You have to take some chances.
Yeah. All right.
Don't want to name Brooklyn.
I'm going to think about this.
They're
some
named
more.
After a part of the court.
Let's go to half-baked idea number two.
Okay, the second half-baked idea. I got a tweet from a guy, because you notice how sometimes people don't necessarily have to tweet you to see that they're talking about you. So I guess this was when you were on your book tour, and UO Sports Dude, oh no, excuse me, Benjamin Murphy tweets UO Sports Dude. It says, you're hanging with a sports guy tomorrow? Ask him who would win in a fight between Jacoby and Kevin Wilds. We're not even involved. Like, we're real people. Like, I don't see that you're asking who's going to win between a fight. And then they start responding back and forth. Ooh, good question. I think Jacoby. His voice sounds a lot deeper and manlier than Kevin Wilds. Which, by that rationale, that Dick Enberg could beat me up, which is not true. Then goes back. Oh, yeah, but Kevin Wilds seems crazy. Blah, blah, blah. These guys go back and forth. Eventually, Jacoby and I start to weigh in. And we realize from this tweet fest that there is an appetite in the podcast community at large to see your podcast guests fight each other.
I like it.
So that's where this podcast, that's where this idea came from. The idea is a 16-person single elimination tournament featuring guests of the podcast fighting I don't know if to the death. Well, it can't be to the death because we have to. Well, maybe.
Well, wait a second.
Do you think it should be to the death or no?
First of all, I think you should go all out and everybody should have to live in a house.
We're going to. Oh, I was going to do it in your driveway, though.
No, well, they can live in my house. We'll go five to a room. Okay. And every week, somebody gets either voted out or killed.
So what's that, the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, we do Ultimate Fighter, basically.
I don't have a name for it. Something like the BS Brawl or Simmons Friends Fight to the Death. Something like that.
Simmons Friends Fight to the Death. I don't know if that's that catchy.
It's tough to put on a T-shirt, but it gets the name across. So then I did some research. Celebrity Boxing. Do you remember that?
Yep.
With Danny Bonaduce and Manute Bol. Guess how many people watched that? It was in May of 2002.
Guess who did a running diary of it?
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I should have gone back and
found it. Buried in my archive somewhere, yeah. I loved it.
15.5 million people watched it.
Not surprised.
So we'll do this as a pay-per-view event one day. I think we just all fight to the death one day. Pay-per-view. Get everyone that bought your book. Your book was like $30, and it sold up. Everybody bought that. And it was, you know, probably more entertaining than watching people fight to the death. But that's why we'll only charge a third as much. Maybe $10.
$10.95. I like the 95.
Okay, $10.95. We take all the money. I don't know how many buys we can do, but hopefully raise $1 million for the Jimmy Fund. So who could really be against this, you know?
I like your matchups. You mailed me the matchups.
Okay, so hopefully
the best part is, for some reason, you decided you could take Dan Le Batard. Matched yourself against Le Batard?
These were picked at random by a committee.
Oh. All right.
Maybe it was me. But I only chose, you've had a lot of people on the podcast, I only chose the people that I thought cared enough about helping children that they would be willing to fight to the, well, I'm going to take fight to the death off the board. Fight to the, like, almost dying.
How about just fight till tapping out or not breathing?
All right, you twisted my arm. Let's do that. Okay. All right, so the first round matchup is Matthew Berry versus Artie Lang. Who you like?
Do we have testing for this? Drug testing?
No, God, no. We're expected to do a few cycles if we've learned anything from reality.
I don't know if that helps or hurts Artie. I don't know what kind of condition he'd be in. I'd go with Artie.
Really?
In that one, yeah.
Go ahead.
I just think Carolla's going to win this. He's 25 years of boxing experience. Nobody beats him.
Carolla's the next matchup, though.
Carolla's a ringer, though. No, but I mean, we could go through every matchup and all that, but the question is really who gets to lose to Carolla in the finals.
I was really worried about Carolla. I've never seen him actually box, but I've heard him talk about it, and it doesn't sound like
he's boxed since he was like 19, yeah. And still does, and trains and like goes to gyms and stuff.
Well, that might be great. That'll be a great TV. Adam Carolla, funny man, Adam Carolla, just knocking your friends out.
Well, that's why I like the next matchup, the Carolla-Kimmel, because he might really lay it on to Kimmel, like a little that you almost wonder if something's there. If there's some deep-seated something going on, like the kind of beating he gives. Goes well past just, you know, normal beating.
No, not to slight Carolla's boxing skills, but this isn't a boxing match, friend.
It's a fight.
It's a fight. I mean, I know that Carolla is going to try to come, if I'm lucky enough to make it to the Elite Eight. I know that Carolla is going to come at me with fists blazing. I need to get him on the ground and start biting his ear off.
I don't see anybody handling Carolla in this. You know who might? Actually, let's go to the next matchup because Jacoby's got some size. Like, he's sneaky tall. He's like a sneaky 6'3".
Jacoby versus Seth Meyers, he's talking about. This will be a tough matchup. Here's the problem with Jacoby is his one fatal flaw. He's broken his nose a few times playing basketball. So I think if Seth Meyers lands a solid elbow on it, that thing's going to open up.
Well, we learned from Jersey Shore that it only takes 9 pounds of pressure to break somebody's nose.
And if Seth Meyers knows that, we're all in trouble.
I doubt he does.
But Jacoby's big. He's got a long reach. Jacoby has hit me in the head before, and it's not pleasant.
I'm going to give you the lines for each of these matchups as you go. I think Artie Lang is a minus 400 favorite.
Okay. Over Matthew Berry, yep.
Carolla's off the board. The books won't even put odds down for Carolla Kimmel.
Great.
Jacoby's about minus 650 over Seth Meyers.
Okay.
This next one, though, you and Levitard, who you wanted to fight, apparently.
No, I didn't want to fight. I just didn't know. I didn't know who. I had to put myself in here. People want to see it.
Is this like you don't like when he's on PTI and you feel like you could just he wouldn't be on anymore if you could kill him in the fight?
No, I think that it would actually be a good fight.
Okay.
And I just watched the U, and I really I took a liking to him. There's a mutual. I really liked him in the U. Every time I get exposed to more and more Levitard, I like him more and more.
So it'll be one of those things where you fight, but then you're like, there's a lot of hugging and handshaking after.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mutual respect.
I'm thinking, he seems, I've never been around him. He seems kind of tall.
He's tall, and he's a big dude in general. I'm going to make him like a minus 240 favorite. Sorry.
I think I could see him kicking me in the chest.
Yeah.
Not fun.
So next one is Jacko against Coward, which really is a marquee matchup.
I liked it. I liked it because I think Colin is also bigger than you think.
Right.
Colin's about 6'2", 6'3", but he's kind of muscular. Every once in a while I wear a t-shirt. I'm like, Colin, you look kind of ripped today. But he says he's nonviolent, but I don't know if that includes biting.
He spent a lot of time in Portland.
What does that mean?
Well, Portland people are friendly. They like to go outdoors and hike and talk about wildlife and nature.
Also spent a lot of time in Vegas.
Oh, that's it. Oh, that ruins that theory then. I'm going to say Jacko is a minus 140 favorite only because I've seen his temper.
Okay. I think Colin's probably too nice. I put him in there just because I thought he'd like this exposure, and he likes doing stuff for charity.
Yeah.
Helping people out. All right, this next one is Cousin Sal versus Jeff Ross.
Again, off the board.
Really?
Yeah, Cousin Sal would kill him.
Wow.
Yeah. Cousin Sal is a high school wrestler, like one of those secret that you don't want to mess with these guys.
I knew it.
He's a little shorter, which would give people the implication or the make them think maybe they could take him or whatever. It's just you're not going to take him.
So you don't even think if it comes down to it, Cousin Sal could beat Corolla?
Oh, that would be a good fight.
There you go.
We'll get to the finals for that, but that's a good one.
All right.
The next one is... that's off the board for odds. The next one, though, is the all-time sneaky height matchup. Chuck Klosterman against Super Dave. Super Dave is like 6'4".
Really?
Yeah.
Well, isn't Klosterman big, too?
Klosterman's like 6'2". Yeah. This is like one of those, wow, these are heavyweights? Like that would be the reaction from the crowd.
I assume Super Dave can fight. He's got a pugilistic nickname, which helps.
Super Dave is like 75 years old, so we got to factor that in. I mean, that's pretty old. Like, if Larry Holmes came back right now, you'd think, oh, my God, that guy's old, and he's like 55.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to give Klosterman at least the advantage as a favorite.
All right, well, I'll move him. I'll advance him.
This last one would be the worst fight of the group.
Chris Connolly versus South Park's Matt Stone.
Chris Connolly would be narrating his own tearjerker piece about the fight as it was happening.
Chris Connolly is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
He really is. And actually, Matt Stone is really nice as well. I can't imagine him raising his hands to anybody. I think that these guys would disqualify themselves.
No, it's for charity, though. No one really wants to fight anyone else. But it's for the Jimmy Fund. It's for a good cause. We're raising money for sick kids.
All right, here's what I think the final four is.
Okay.
Corolla
defeats Kimmel, Artie Lang.
Corolla.
All right, Jacoby.
And, wow, that Klosterman Super Dag, Chris Conley, Matt Stone, that is a weak bracket.
Hey, that's the way it shook out.
Jacko, yeah, Cousin Sal beats Jacko, and then he rolls through Klosterman.
Okay.
Although that would be a good size. Klosterman would have a big size advantage.
No, Cousin Sal's not even fighting Klosterman until the final. To the
conference
four.
Finals, yeah. And then I think Jacoby. Yeah, Jacoby loses to Corolla, obviously, so it would be Corolla versus.
Corolla versus Cousin Sal.
Cousin Sal.
And I always give it to the grappler, so I'll give it to Cousin Sal for the win.
That would be a good one. There has been talk about like who would win if there was some in that whole Kimmel circle. I'll tell you one thing. Cousin Sal will keep coming. It'll be one of those things where they'll be like, no more Sal. Tap already.
Wrestlers, there's no end to a wrestler's sort of skill. If you said, oh, I played tennis in high school, Kevin, let's go out and play it, and I've never played tennis, you're not going to be that good. You're just going to be sort of stumbling around. But if you wrestled in high school and you want to wrestle right now, you'll break my arm very quickly.
It is one of those skills. It's like learning Spanish when you're young and being able to speak two languages, and it's a significant advantage that nobody gives credit to. Same thing for wrestling.
Does anyone in this group have cauliflower ear?
No. All right, get to half-baked idea number three.
All right, I'm in between two. You're going to hear one about Craig Sager or leprechauns. Which half-baked idea would you like to hear?
Well, it's the holidays. I feel like you should give us an extra one.
Oh, well, that sounds good. Well, the leprechauns one is holiday-based.
Okay.
So since we're in the holidays, there is a fictional character, sorry, 8-year-old BS Report listeners, called Santa Claus. He's one of the many fictional holiday characters that American children grew up with. We've got Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy. Anybody else we're missing? Your kids have any other fictional creatures?
MJ's baseball retirement?
MJ's baseball. He's not actually a character, though.
Oh, all right. I got confused.
So I think it's just three. Now, when I was growing up, since I'm Irish and my mom is Irish, she decided, I don't even know if she created this or other people do this, maybe they do, but when I was growing up, there were leprechauns on St. Patrick's Day. So you'd wake up St. Patrick's Day in your room, they were very mischievous, and my room was all tossed and turned everywhere, messy, and there was green candies everywhere. And I'd wake up my brother, and I'd Craig! And his room would be all messy, and there's green candies. They're like, oh my god, the leprechauns came and tore our house apart! So we had this a fourth fictional creature involved in our everyday life. The entire month of March was leprechauns. They were coming to leave you candy and mess up your room. And I didn't realize until you started to turn around and get a little older that most kids did not grow up with leprechauns terrorizing their rooms. Did you?
I was always kind of afraid of leprechauns.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
See, they were very friendly.
Not as terrified as I was of clowns. But go ahead.
Okay. So the idea is for American society, and you can start with your own kids, to introduce, it doesn't necessarily have to be leprechauns, but take a holiday that's kind of lame, maybe President's Day, and introduce a fictional character that is fun for children.
I like it.
So, hey, it's President's Day. Oh, the old ghost of Abraham Lincoln left his top hat here filled with candy. Oh, George Washington has left you a wig that made of cotton candy. Let's just eat it. That's the idea. More, and then try to find out where the breaking point is. I don't have any kids, pretty sure. And I certainly have never raised one. But I think you can tell kids that there's might be a fictional character. Certainly you can do four or five. Can you do one a month? Would your kids fall for that?
Like a tax day?
Sure. He leaves you change.
Oh, it's IRS.
Hey.
IRS is in the house.
Oh, and you can combine it with the WWE. Oh, there he is. That's IRS. He leaves change underneath your pillows.
Well, Uncle Sam technically already is there, but you could make it so that he's still alive and he comes to everybody's house and he's a little flag.
And he has some sort of funky way of entering into your house that's, he doesn't come through. He comes through, Santa comes through the chimney and Tooth Fairy, I guess, flies in. I don't know how my mom would get the leprechauns in. I think they would just enter through the doors, to be honest with you.
Maybe Labor Day. Maybe you come up with a Labor Day guy.
Just a depressed worker. A worker working an 80-hour week. Some child labor. Oh, that's the old child laborer working on a...
Labor Day bonus. Well, they did I'm stuttering today for some reason. I think I'm very close to having some sort of massive brain aneurysm. The WWE had the Gobbledygooker.
What? Who
you
are they?
You know about that? In the Survivor Series, they premiered this new, kind of like part mascot, part whatever. I can't even remember the details because I blocked it out of my mind. But the Gobbledygooker, it was like the mascot of the Survivor Series. Gobbledygooker, I can't even say it.
And you want him visiting your children?
No, but I'm saying that was an attempt of somebody to create a character that didn't really work.
Oh. Well, yeah. The other idea that obviously there's a financial benefit to everything I say, that much like your podcast awards, we would be at the forefront of this industry. So if we did President's Day with Abraham Lincoln beards, we would go into full-on Abraham Lincoln candy mode so that every classroom in America, every parent that loves their child would have to buy a chocolate Abraham Lincoln hollow to give to their children. Or Abraham Lincoln himself would hide it underneath your pillow.
All right. So what was the Craig Sager idea?
Oh, so I love Craig Sager. Do you like Craig Sager?
I do. I mean, I think he's gotten a lot of mileage out of kooky wardrobe choices. Arguably more mileage than anybody, I think, ever in America.
That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
So Craig Sager, if you don't love Craig Sager, he wears goofy suits. That's basically his thing. And I don't remember growing up that Craig Sager always had on these goofy suits. I feel like they've gotten progressively goofier. Am I wrong?
I have an opinion on this.
Go ahead.
Because, as you know, I watched a lot of DVDs for my book.
Yep.
And it started around, it looked like around the 92-93 season, the wheels started to come off for him, wardrobe-wise.
But it was a great idea. Craig Sager had a great idea. He said, there's a lot of sideline NBA guys. I'm going to be the guy in the goofy suit.
I think if I hate to jump into Craig Sager's brain because Lord knows, you know, to jump into that beautiful machine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this was right around the time when the outfits in the draft started taking off.
Gotcha.
And that was getting a lot of attention. And he decided, well, what if I parlay this into some sideline attention?
It was a good idea.
It was a good idea.
I think it's a great idea. So here's the thing. He's hit a point where he's not really progressing anymore with his outfits. It's just known around the league, and Kevin Garnett says, burn that suit, and he laughs, and Ernie laughs, and everyone's laughing. But if collectively, every time he's on TV, Twitter blows up. Hey, look at Craig Sager, da-da-da-da-da. Like, yes, that's what he wants.
Right.
But if we all ignored Craig Sager, or even complimented him, I like Craig Sager's suit. I think Craig Sager looks nice today. He would be forced to go back to the drawing board and come up with crazier and crazier outfits. And we still, as basketball fans worldwide, we would still just be radio dead. Don't do anything until Craig Sager comes out looking like Archbishop Don Magic Juan.
What would he do, though? I mean, basically like taking...
He would keep... He can still go. He can still go further.
You know what it reminds me of? In ESPN, I'm going to say mid-90s, Larry Beal had that one catchphrase that he loved. It was, and aloha means goodbye. And he'd scream it after a home run.
I like that.
He'd say, Manny Ramirez up in the seventh, and aloha means goodbye.
Oh, that's nice.
So Keith Olbermann, being the provocateur that he is, he just stole it. He started saying it, but in a mocking way.
Mm-hmm.
And this was when him and Patrick had just a ton of juice and they could do things like this.
Yep.
I don't know if Larry Beal minded or not, but Olbermann started saying it all the time. And then every time Larry Beal said it, it felt weird. And he kind of ruined it. And then now Larry Beal is like in Hawaii.
Hmm. That means goodbye.
Yeah, aloha literally meant goodbye. But that's what I feel like if we did that with Craig Sager, he ends up in Hawaii.
No! I think Craig Sager would just start to become more creative with his outfits.
I don't think he has a plan B.
I think he could. I love Craig Sager. Everyone's like, oh, he looks silly. I love him. I think he's awesome.
I love him. I don't love the people who think it's funny to make jokes about his outfits.
That's the thing. That's not funny. That's just the you have to be in on the joke. He's in on the joke.
It's accepted now.
Yes.
It's like saying, oh, Ron Artest carved something in his hair. Like,
no!
It's not a joke anymore.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It says Queensbridge. Like, he actually grew up there. Did you believe that?
Why don't you... I have an idea. I have another half-baked idea.
Sure.
Why don't you steal Craig Sager's gimmick for Sports Nation? Every time you're on, because you go on occasionally, you're wearing just an absolutely ridiculous outfit.
Well...
And then Michelle and Colin could say, oh, how about Wilds? Whoa, my eyes are still bleeding.
Hey, hey, don't call him Wilds for nothing, eh?
Wilds taste and wardrobe.
Hey.
Maybe that could be your gimmick.
I think that works with. How about can't I just dress really nicely?
Oh, you go the other direction, like you dress like a Harvard Business School professor.
Yeah, I'll just look fantastic.
A lot of layers and
I think that
hat.
Would just suit me. I feel a little bit more comfortable looking tremendously handsome.
Well, what if Craig? This is, brings up an interesting question of people who could come out with just a completely different look that's not that crazy different, but it would cause a riot if they did so.
Yeah, well, I saw Craig Sager in Miami in the Super Bowl, and he was wearing normal slacks and a normal shirt. It was, that's why I loved Craig Sager. Like, you're the best, and he was just so friendly to everybody. He's super nice and pumped
like,
to be alive.
If Craig Sager, if he had like a flat top.
Oh, you want to screw with his hairstyles now?
Craig Sager comes back for the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost 45 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a flat top, and he's wearing like tight, like Keanu Reeves appearing on a late night show type suits with like the skinny ties.
Googling. Yeah.
And they're like, let's go to Craig Sager, who's lost some weight. And Craig, and it's like, oh my God, you'd have like a heart attack.
I would.
That would be the best career move he could make. Google Trends, number one Google trend, Craig Sager.
Craig Sager's flat top?
Craig Sager, what happened? It would be like when we had Bernie Kosar on the U and it was...
Oh boy, what was that?
Is Bernie Kosar drunk was the Google number one Google trend that night.
What was going on?
We're not sure. Can I just say that I saw a rough cut of that movie that didn't have graphics on it,
mm-hmm.
and I watched an hour and a half of the 2 hours before realizing that it was Bernie Kosar.
Oof.
I'm not even kidding.
Well, Levitard wrote that great article on him.
Yeah.
It was very sad. But
yeah,
drunken Bernie Kosar, I guess. It's a decent interview.
I don't think he was drunk. I just think he's one of those. We all have friends like this. The guy who seems like he's drunk, but they're not.
Yeah, it's really insulting if he wasn't drunk. And he's like, why is everyone saying I'm drunk?
I'm just happy.
That's the way I am. I'm pumped talking about Miami. Talking about the U.
Yeah. Anything else we could cover?
That's basically. No, I've got one other final thing if you can edit together. When I was talking about your book, did your book go gold? Did it go platinum? Is there any type of book? Anything? It's not like albums like, hey, my book went gold. Oh, congratulations, Bill. I said, Bill, how's your book going? He's like, well, it's the fifth week on the New York Times. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's boring, dude.
I will say that I felt like being number one, I felt like I should have gotten a championship belt for the week. Like
you should have gotten
FedExed it to me,
and it should have been gold.
I could have worn it like Hulk Hogan, like for 1 week.
Got a gold book. My book went gold. Hey, congratulations, guys! My book went gold.
And then hand it over to the Super Freakonomics guy, or whoever was number one next week. I want you to take care of this. Trophy or something.
This is yours now. What the dog saw.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this thing. Take care of it. Yeah, it's true. Well, that defines the book industry, though.
Well, we can do that for the podcast.
Well, how about
just the
same
podcast where, like, hey, we do gold books. Your book went gold. Number one.
A lot of weird stuff about the book industry. So the list comes out on a Wednesday, but it doesn't run in the newspaper for 2 Sundays after that.
What?
Yeah. So like the first week my book came out, it wasn't in the newspaper for another 17 days or something.
Hmm.
Or no, another 10 days.
There was no competition about who was going to be number one. Remember when Kanye and 50 released an album on the same day and they just played it up. And you and Gladwell could have done that.
I didn't think of that.
Taking a picture of the nose to nose on the cover of Rolling Stone, battle for number one. He wrote the intro to your book, and he didn't ask you to write the intro to his, and you were mad.
I wish I'd put them. I never thought it was an option, just because it seemed like the books that made the number one were books that were like all over the airports and stuff. There's this whole secret world of books that I never knew about until the last 2 months. Huh? Like, did you know, like, you go to an airport,
mm-hmm.
you see the books in the front?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all bought.
Bought by who?
By the book company.
The book like, company buys like, the books?
It's like, no, they, I mean, they buy those, that territory.
Oh, I think I knew.
So let's say like, I walk into, let's say I'm in American Airlines and I walk into the Hudson News and mm-hmm. staring in the front of me is Kevin Wild's best-selling book, Half-Baked Ideas.
Oh, that's nice.
There's a stand of, we have two stands next to each other. The mm-hmm. book, the Hudson News didn't say, who's worthy of a stand? Who should we give this stand to? They actually, you buy that territory.
My publisher bought the stand for me to sell my
Well, you're not just buying book. That stand. You're buying the stand in every Hudson News, in every gate, in every airport.
Yeah, Hudson
every
News.
Every city in the country.
Is that with every, my buddy did a magazine and he threw the magazine. He couldn't even give it to Hudson News. They had to pay Hudson News to sell their magazine.
Yeah. That should be another half-baked idea. Buy Hudson News. Because it's the only... I mean, they must pay the airports to be in the airports in the first place, I'm guessing.
How many?
Are you writing this down? You like the Hudson News idea.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love all sorts of, like, tricky... L. Ron Hubbard used to buy all the Dianetics books.
Right.
So it's Dianetics, the best-selling book. Can you go and buy your own book and then put it out and resell it?
Oh, that's interesting. So you
buy 10,000 copies. If your book has been on the bestseller at least for 5 or 6 weeks,
yeah.
If post-Christmas everyone's got it now,
yeah,
and you want to give it another week, say, well, you know, I'm going to buy 10,000 copies.
I could buy a book or take a book that they sent me and just put it in the airports. I should have done that.
We've got
at least 10 more sales. But the thing is, it's so freaking heavy.
Just carrying more than four is just...
All right, so let's recap what we learned today.
Okay.
Brooklyn needs to change its name.
Yes. The New Jersey Nets need to change their name. Brooklyn can stay Brooklyn as the borough.
Cousin Sal versus Adam Carolla would be an awesome fight.
Yes.
Leprechauns are scary, and there should be more types of holiday-themed weird creatures that we can either scare or entertain our kids with.
Yeah, and build an industry around.
And Craig Sager should mix it up because really the whole world would self-combust.
Yes, we should all not mention Craig Sager and see what else he comes up with.
Okay.
And the panther is the state animal of Florida.
Joe Mead! Is that true?
Yeah.
That's funny. Kevin Wild, it's always a pleasure. Excuse my hiccup. Enjoy the holidays. We'll talk to you soon.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Target the channel. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important news, which frankly cannot go unstated. Whether tailgating, watching the game with friends, or just really hungry, attack your hunger with Subway Catering. Piled high platters starting at $25, giant subs, cookies, drinks, and more. So find a reason to party, put Subway Catering in charge, and get busy feasting. Subway. Cater fresh.